Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey folks, it's Nyan, and thank you for beginning to listen to another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. If you turn this off and disgust before finishing the episode, we totally understand. Before we jump into what we've got going on today, just want to give a quick recap on what we're doing here for any new listeners who may have joined us. So each week we have two segments. One half of the pod is one of us pitching a show that we can't live without to the other two folks and then suggesting specific episodes to watch. The episodes might not be in chronological order, but we're chosen to give folks a good sense of what the show's about. Because we sort of respect each other's time, and maybe even yours, but we limit the number of episodes to adding up to no more than 2 hours of content. That way everybody can actually find the time to watch all the suggested episodes before the next episode rolls around. So that could be either four 30-minute episodes of a NBC sitcom or two 60-minute episodes of an AMC drama. The other half of the pod is getting panel feedback on a show that we covered in a prior episode to find out what our panel loved, hated, or just didn't get about a show. This week, we get Scott and Dan's feedback on the show Travel Man while we shelter in place and miss airline food. Travel Man is available on Amazon Prime, BET Plus, and Plex. And as an extra note, it looks like Travel Man is also available on Pluto TV, which I did not realize at the time ever we recorded both the pitch and the feedback. So that's exciting. And then on the pitch segment, Scott tells us about a brand new group of teenagers we can all yell at to get off of our lawns when he pitches the show Outer Banks, which is available on Netflix. I apologize in advance for some of the audio issues on this episode and hope they don't make it completely unlistenable, but we're definitely trying our best while recording in different states. That aside, please get ready to listen to this ill-advised vanity project that has probably gone on for way too long. All right, folks, welcome back. We're here to get some feedback on the show Travel Man, which is currently available on Amazon Prime, Plex, and BET Plus. So, guys, what did you think about Travel Man? Tell me all your thoughts about the shiz and the travel without mercy.
I thought he's a very interesting choice to be the host of a travel show.
Okay. I would agree.
Especially just because it seems like he's not really enjoying it at all, which I think, Nyan, you mentioned in your description, but you really get the sense that, like, he's doing this because someone is, like, forcing him to, or, you know, it's like he was, I don't know, like, someone just proposed a show and he didn't realize it was about travel until he started doing it, and then it was too late.
I think he was trying to help people.
Yeah,
he was trying to help.
I see it more as kind of like, you know, what happened to Robert Stack's career. So you might remember him, you know, prior to a certain point in his career, he was always just kind of in more serious roles in one of the cases. And then they had the bright idea. I'm like, oh, let's put him in 1941. And all of a sudden he plays a straight man, and that makes everything else look way more hilarious. And I figured out I would call this a Robert Stack approach, or the Stack attack, if you will.
So do you think Richard Ayoade is going to go on to try and figure out Unsolved Mysteries?
I would totally watch that reboot, for real.
I absolutely would as well.
But so you had us watch a couple episodes here. It was Vienna, St. Petersburg, and I believe it was Helsinki?
It was Vienna with Chris O'Dowd. That was season 2, episode 1. Then the Budapest episode with Aisling Bea, season 4, episode 4. And then season 4, episode 1, which was St. Petersburg with Rob Beckett. And then the last one I threw on as a fourth was season 3, episode 2, which was Helsinki with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I want to say mad props that they chose the Hotel Daniel for the win in Vienna. So I did appreciate that.
Well done.
Yeah, and it was great how he, like, stuck Chris O'Dowd with the Airstream room.
Yeah. I mean, but it was pretty luxurious. Yeah, I have to admit, like, they really did a good job in the deck that room out.
They really did. Yes, they did. It did look pretty. It looked interesting. It's like a place that I would, that I might want to stay in just to experience it.
I wonder what we'd like to live in that as an apartment, though.
Hmm.
You could break bad all the time.
True. Of course. I mean, other things I might want to, I just want to throw out here. Basically, there's a lot of really excellent references in this. There was a Miami Vice reference. There was a Robot Wars reference, which was crazy. And whatnot. So there was a lot of really awesome references in here from everybody, and it was pretty amazing. The ironic picture book of Tom Hiddleston. I would totally buy that.
That is fair. That's just a good time.
And
you can get that at the Time Variance Authority gift shop, I think.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Also,
what do you say, Scott? Good.
I was going to say, was it Vienna where they went to the snow globe shop? Was that the Vienna episode?
Yeah, I think that was Vienna.
I think it was, yeah. Or
it was definitely Chris O'Dowd, so it was definitely Vienna.
Right, yeah, because he dropped it. I was wondering if that was staged or if that like just happened.
That's
because he wasn't paying attention and he dropped it.
Like, dude, it was like I literally was gonna scream when it happened. Yeah.
I know. That looked like a cool place though, like a cool place to visit.
And it's always good to have plenty of cocaine lying around.
100%.
Yeah, but I did watch it with subtitles on. That helped a lot.
Oh yeah,
but they were speaking English the whole time.
They were speaking English the whole time, but
a couple like the Budapest tour guide, you know, obviously he had a thicker accent, but he was hilarious though.
He was, yes, that guy was great. But and also some of the references, I'm sure British people probably understood, but. Some of them I really did not know the people that he was referring to.
Yeah, like, I had like Jeremy Kyle and Danny Dyer. Like I feel like I've heard of Jeremy Kyle in passing, but I had to look them up because like I literally had no idea because like they were laughing about it, like it was like common knowledge. I'm like I better go look this up because this is driving me nuts if I don't know.
Did it feel like it interfered with the actual enjoyment of the show?
No, it was for me, it was just a little bump. That's all it was. It's okay. I just paused. That's the great thing about having a streaming show is you can pause it, you can go look something up, and you can come back. So,
true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it didn't bother me that much. It was just like, well, okay, I guess I'm just not going to get that joke, and nope, here's another one I'm not going to understand. But I still enjoyed the show a lot, actually, and it was. I like that each episode kind of had a little bit of a different. Kind of like a different atmosphere because of the different guests that he was traveling with. But I like that too, that kind of each one had you kind of got a different tone from each of the different episodes based on who he was traveling with.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's definitely a different kind of, atmosphere and pacing as well, I would say. And that was really neat. I mean, I really, definitely appreciated that. And the guests, like, again, they're all very dynamic and in their own different ways. Like I said, this goes back to the stack attack I mentioned before, because there's like really, you get to see a really, I would call potent kind of, insight into these other comedians or other actors, kinds of, things at the moment there. So it's pretty neat. I mean, and seeing, I'm going to butcher her name. So Eiling's, look when they were at the Heideck Memorial, very special memorial that was specially endowed. that was amazing. So many levels. I'm like, this is something that we would probably still do 10 years from now if we happen to be there.
Oh, wonderful. She's brilliant. I don't know if actually it's now that I think about it, it's kind of funny that I recommended her an episode with her and Paul Rudd because her and Paul Rudd were on a show on Netflix, which I think I might have referenced when I pitched the show. Together. I don't remember the name of the show off the top of my head, but Tom Brady's in it as well.
Oh yeah, I know that show you're talking about, but I can't remember what the name of it is.
But yeah, I see what you're saying in terms of like each guest kind of adding their personality to it, and as like even in other episodes with other guests, because I don't think he ever repeats a guest. Now that I think about it, I do think it's a brand new guest every time. Everybody does lend their own personality to it. And Ashley B's personality definitely does come through in the Budapest episode, because I've actually been watching another show on Hulu with her and Sharon Horgan called This Way Is Up, which I'll probably pitch at some point because that show is brilliant. And really, you know, it 100% comes through. The one thing I did want to really see if it kind of replicates the experience of traveling and understanding and you know, learning about another culture is, if after the St. Petersburg episode with Rob Beckett, do you guys feel like you understand Lev more? For our listeners, Lev is a guy we went to college with, who was my roommate through most of college, who lived in St. Petersburg until he was like 10 or 11, then moved to the States. And he's often very confusing. So after watching this episode, do you the episode in St. Petersburg, do you feel like he makes a little bit more sense or not really?
I did kind of have that in mind when I was watching it, but I'm not sure this added too much to my understanding of this person.
I guess culturally speaking, we could maybe understand home cooked meals a little bit, you know, that he might have experienced, you know, as a younger child, you know, whatnot. I think that part of it might be more understandable, but it doesn't necessarily lend itself to the, I would say, the vast philosophical and psychological developments that have occurred over time.
That's fair. To me, it explained why he would just leave pennies everywhere. Like, he would leave pennies in our room.
Right. Oh, and I didn't even think about
then
that.
Then they have that scene where they're dropping the pennies on the stone bird on the bridge. And I'm like, oh, did he just think there was a bird there, like in our room in college? And then I just made $13 in pennies off of him over the course of 3 years.
That's a lot of pennies.
4 years. So Lev doesn't believe in pennies, or that's what he claimed. I think he just thought he was leaving them for good luck based on the episode in St. Petersburg where they're dropping coins. You're supposed to try and drop coins on a bird that's a statue as part of a bridge. And if you land the coins on the bird, then you get good luck. And I think that might have been where he was going, but he never articulated fully, probably on purpose, because he is the worst.
So speaking of that, like, why was I forget which scene they were in, but he was wearing a Phillies hat. And I'm like, of all teams choose, I mean, respectfully, you know, to Phillies fans out there, that's not the first team I would expect to see someone, you know, don on an international travel show out of the country to represent America. I mean, I would sooner see, you know, a San Francisco Giants hat or something like that, or one of those New York teams, as they say. So
who's wearing the hat? Was it Rob Beckett?
I can't remember who it was now.
It was the guy who was traveling with, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no explanation for that whatsoever. That guy's a UK comedian, and that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I didn't understand. Like, you know, like, it's like, but he's like, yeah, he's not American, but he's wearing a Phillies hat. I don't know if he's wearing it ironically, if it was a gift. I mean, I would love to know that. So if I ever bump into Rob, we'll have to ask him that. So.
Yeah, we can hit him up on Twitter.
There you go.
Or maybe Donald P. Belisario can introduce us to him.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
Yes, because he knows everyone, 100%. Yes,
exactly. He's very well connected.
So just because of that, I think we now have to start rearranging, you know, that crazy question everyone always asks: if you would have dinner with three people, you know, alive or dead, who would they be? I think we have to start changing our answers now, because I mean, clearly Donald P. Belisario is one for all of us, but we'll have to start thinking about who the other two people are now going to be.
That's fair.
Who would those people be for you, Blywise?
sorry, say that again.
Who would those people be for you?
Oh man, that's a great question. I'd really have to think about that one. Someone who just
not Freud.
What?
Not Freud.
Not Freud. Yes, probably not Freud. What was I going to say? Oh, I just thought it was funny also how, of all the things they saw in St. Petersburg, like their Hermitage Museum and like these other, like, you know, amazing buildings and stuff, it's his favorite part of that whole trip was dropping the pennies on the bird statue.
Yes. It's true. It's true. It's like, but it's funny. Like, you know, I think when you're traveling, I mean, this is one, you know, kind of anecdote that I kind of take from it is that, you know, you never know what might be the most poignant thing that you experience when you're in another country. Sometimes it's little things, little memories. It can just be, you know, walking along, you know, Les Ramblas in Barcelona, or you could be, you know, popping into a random cafe in you know, in Paris or wherever the hell you are. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of things you could probably do, and you just create that memory and that, you know, we all have different references and different reference points we think about, but, you know, I'm sure Jeremy Kyle might have something to say about this, but I'm not sure.
Nyan, has Richard gone to Bulgaria yet?
Great question. I think there may be an episode with that. I'll look it up while we're doing this, because I have access to the internet all the time. I will say that I honestly felt like this was a better way to travel than actual traveling, because honestly, mm-hmm. usually when I travel, I just want to sit in the hotel room and find out what TV is like in different places. Because I want to see if the local news is called Action News or if it's Eyewitness News. Maybe it's something else. I don't even know. I don't know what the other options are. But that's all I really want from travel. I don't really
Wasn't there like a sexy news as from some country out there at one point?
There was a Naked News, I believe.
Naked News, that's what I was
doing. That, there was that as well.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree. I mean, I think, you know, we're spending, you know, time only and no money. You know, on one side, we didn't get to have the caviar tasting
that they had. That was really good.
But you know, I think that you know, there's a lot of cool things. I mean, and plus it was like, you know, it was really cool. Again, I didn't know everyone on all these episodes, but I think everybody knows Paul Rudd, for example, right? So if you were to basically, you know, say, I want you to watch one episode, you know Paul Rudd as, you may or may not know who Richard is, right? So like you have them watch like one of those episodes where it's someone they instinctually know from one place or another. Again, if you don't know him as Ant-Man, you might know him, you know, from one of his many other flicks, so to speak, and the fact that he never ages. So, yeah.
He really doesn't.
And he was so confused almost the entire time.
Yeah, I that was amazing to me. I'm like, this is so good. I think he did something to his agent, and his agent basically says, I'm going to get him good with this one.
And it was kind of interesting to see him out of his element, because I'm used to Paul Rudd being very comfortable in whatever he's doing or wherever he is. But he was clearly just mildly
fish out of water. Yes.
Right on the edge of being upset the whole time.
But he seemed to enjoy himself at points, is what I thought.
Yeah. My favorite part of that episode was the really hot Finnish girl who was sitting next to him in the sauna. I don't know if you noticed her, but like she was just staring at Paul and Richard the whole time. Like,
yeah, it was amazing. I was like, wow.
And then she like started cracking. But could you imagine in the sauna one day, and then this like film crew comes in, and Paul Rudd is sitting there?
Yeah,
I mean, that actually happens to me a lot. Does that not happen to you guys all the time?
Oh man, I'm missing out.
I mean, I don't go to saunas that often, so that's probably half my problem there. So, but honestly, for me, so I don't know how you feel about it, Scott, but I feel like, you know, this is the kind of series that, like, you know, I feel like I it's the kind of thing I would throw on if I came home from dinner or drinks and I'm continuing to drink and whatnot, and I want to chill out and I want to, like you said, you know, experience, like we've kind of talked about experience another place, but again from the confines of my couch or something like that. So I feel like this is like a really great series for that. I feel like, you know, that, you know, not that I entertain a lot, you know, pandemic and whatnot, but, you know, if I was entertaining, I would totally just throw this on, you know, just to hang out with, and then, you know, we could, you know, half watch, half not watch, discuss it, you know, and if someone happens to have traveled to that city, then, you know, they might get a kick out of it. It might bring up, you know, memories and of their travels and whatnot. So this is such a great, it's not just great to experience, but it could also be a great kind of social interaction, conversation starting kind of thing too. Because I think, you know, even if you have no connection to Richard or any of the guests you're watching, I feel like there's still kind of a universality to it. So that's what I took from it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I do definitely see that possibility for this show. And since I've been fortunate enough to travel to some bunch of places around Europe, including Budapest and Vienna,
there you go.
That, yeah, it was very cool to see kind of how he approached being in those cities, especially for such a short amount of time. But yeah, I really enjoyed this show, Nyan, and I agree with what you said when you pitched it, that it's just very easy to just kind of have on in the background or to breeze through some of the episodes. And I even went on and watched a couple more beyond the ones that you recommended. So it was, yeah, I think it took me a little while to get used to like his style of humor and kind of the way that they were structuring the show. But yeah, I really ended up enjoying it a lot. So that was a good recommendation.
And I felt really bad that he was so allergic to horses, though.
Well, it's all horses' fault.
If I ever go to St. Petersburg, I'm definitely going to ride in one of those tank taxis.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's amazing.
That was really cool.
And I didn't want to note that when they were in St. Pete's, they were literally barely skating. Sorry. Requisite dad joke of the episode.
Ba-dum-tsh.
We've hit our quota. We've definitely hit our quota.
Quota achieved. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, so I definitely will be, like Scott continued on. I mean, I'm definitely going to be, you know, popping one on here and there, you know, for sure, basically, because I think, you know, it like for me, like I said, it was chill, it's relaxing, you know, very easy to get into it, and like a lot of the episodes, you know, really just flew by, honestly. So.
That sounds like that's what you guys thought.
It is.
All right. So this is Scott, and I'm going to present my next show for Nyan and Dan to consider. And one of my recent recommendations was The Society, which, as Nyan pointed out, was a very angsty teenage drama. So this is just a slightly less angsty teenage drama called Outer Banks.
Oh, good.
I mean, because, you know, can you really get enough teenage angst? I mean, I don't think so. So
I actually think we never got rid of it.
I mean, you know, I guess it does kind of stay with you to a certain degree. So this is Outer Banks. It's on Netflix. The first season was released last year, and the second season was released just a couple of weeks ago. So, Nyan, you'll be happy to know that this show has not been canceled, at least not yet.
Yes. Thank God.
So there is an actual possibility of resolving some of the story arcs. I think I was drawn to this show, and I read some reviews of it that commented on this as well, because the show has just really spectacular scenery and visuals from the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And the show came out last year when everyone was stuck at home and we couldn't go anywhere. So it's like, well, you know, if you're not going to be able to actually go to a cool place, the next best thing is to see one on TV. So this show,
I'm sensing a theme here from a previous for your consideration, honestly, from this. So I'm sensing a theme here.
Okay. Actually, I'm not. Well, what theme are you sensing? I don't know if I can.
Well, the idea of traveling without traveling, basically.
Ah, yes, which is very much related to a show that Nyan recommended. Yes, yeah, very true. While we were all stuck inside last year with the pandemic, at least we could watch, you know, some beautiful, you know, kind of air shots from the air of the really picturesque Outer Banks, and get to watch some teenage drama. So the plot is kind of completely ridiculous, but it is very entertaining. It's really interesting characters, I think. So it's basically one of the main themes is the class difference, because apparently in the Outer Banks, there's a part of that area which is for the very, very wealthy, and where people just have these huge mansions, and, you know, where money is definitely not an object for some of these people. Like, this is where the Outer Banks is where they have like their second or third homes even. And then on the other side of the island is, or the, I guess the area, I think the Outer Banks is more of an area than a single place, but
on the other
side of the area where the show takes place is for the working class people. So basically all the people that like serve the rich guys. They're the ones that work in the restaurants and the clubs and the golf courses and things like that. So they kind of are, these two groups are at odds with each other, and it focuses on these four teenagers who are played by people who are definitely in their mid-20s and not actually teenagers. But they go for it anyway. And a group from the working class section, and they call themselves the Pogues, because Pogues apparently are like one of the smallest fish out there, and they're like at the bottom of the food chain, so that's how they nickname themselves.
And they also a band?
It is a band, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
There's also a famous columnist named David Pogue, I believe.
And about their friendship and kind of the mischief they get into. And then the rich teenagers are called kooks. So there's this kind of class warfare thing going on. And there's also a mystery because one of the main characters' father was like trying to search for a sunken ship which had a bunch of gold on it. So there's like this treasure hunt kind of aspect to it. And then the father mysteriously disappeared. So the son is like trying to find out what happened to him and also kind of collect some of the clues that his father left behind to find the treasure. So those are the kind of the two main elements, and then various kind of other side plots about the lives of the one of the rich families and some of the working class families. And one girl like in their friend group is from a wealthy family, but she like really likes the other guys who are part of the Pogues. So it's like she's kind of slumming it with the poor people. So it's about like which world is she really in? The one from her family or the one with her friends. And then, of course, there's a relationship, an unexpected relationship that starts between one member of one group and one member of the other group. So it's kind of, I think escapist is the best description I can think of for this show, because it's just really a nice escape from, obviously from the pandemic for sure. And just like try to watch something that is like trying to be dramatic and realistic, but it really isn't. And that's okay. And it's just kind of an enjoyable experience. So that's why I think Outer Banks is a really.
So it sounds like to me that the makers of the show decided to mash up The Goonies and Dirty Dancing.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much for pointing that out. It's exactly what it sounds like. Somebody got super lazy and was like, hey, you remember Dirty Dancing, Goonies? Wasn't that great? Let's put that in North Carolina. People seem to like the Outer Banks. I see a lot of bumper stickers that say OBX. Let's just do that and call it a day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and throw in a dash of 16 Candles. That's the one that I thought.
There you go. Yes. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Because that is like the focus on the class differences. So, pretty much. And, you get to watch some pretty hot 20-something-year-old actors and actresses pretend to be teenagers.
Anyone we know, by the way?
That feels weird.
It's a little weird.
Can I pretend that they're just 20-year-olds and leave it at that? As a middle-aged man, I'd prefer not to be ogling teenagers. Well, it generally seems to work out better for me.
Yeah.
Fair point. But they're not actually in school during any part of the show, so so I think you'll be okay.
No, they're just behind the 7-Eleven, so if I'm looking at them from my car, it's okay.
Is that the rationale?
That's fair.
Well, I mean, it takes place during the summer, so
so they'd be at Dairy Queen, is what you're telling me. They wouldn't be at 7-Eleven, they'd be Dairy Queen. I can ogle them from there.
Let's just, yeah, that's
whatever floats your boat, as they say.
in the Outer Banks, because it's
and there are quite a few boats in the show. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so are you telling me to come to the back of the boat?
Thankfully, no. They go to try to find the treasure, the gold from that sunken ship, and so it's pretty. There are some good cliffhangers at the end of some of the episodes.
Nice.
And it really, I can't really explain other than that. Just it draws you in, and it's fun. It's a fun watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any questions specifically?
I guess I'm trying to really parse through this. So, I mean, Dan, as you noted, it sounds like it's this weird Dirty Dancing, 16 Candles, Goonies mashup, which I don't understand. And I'll be honest, whenever I hear about the Outer Banks, I do think about those bumper stickers and people on Facebook that I knew from elementary school being really excited about going to the Outer Banks and thinking, wow, these people have nothing better to do with their lives. So I don't have a high opinion of the Outer Banks. I'll be honest with you.
Referred to it as OBX on the show.
Perfect. I knew they would. it is that basic. Like I want this to be better, and I'm really hoping it is because you're taking the time to recommend this for the podcast. But I don't have high hopes.
You have a dual purpose now. You have to not only talk about the show per se, but you also have to talk about whether or not the show reinforces or changes your perspective on people who either live and or vacation and or work in OBX.
Yes. No, I think that's fair. I wouldn't say live. I would say vacation because I spend most of my time in the Northeast. And so all I ever see are OBX stickers. So it's people who vacation there, I'm assuming, and aren't just randomly hopping back to the Northeast. Because folks that live there, I have no beef with those folks. I'm sure they're lovely. They're great. But it's those people who are like, oh my God, the Outer Banks are so great. We all hung out and we did a bunch of drugs and like we drank a ton of beer and wrecked a bunch of stuff. And here are all our pictures and I'm going to put them on Facebook. Those idiots are the ones I want to dunk on.
Yeah, I actually am curious as to what beverages these people will be drinking, honestly.
Outside of Natty Light? I don't know, Doug.
What's the thing? If this series is set more in modern times, have they already transitioned to Truly or to White Claw?
Great question. When does it take place?
You would think that they would, but I guess maybe when they made the show it was a little too early for White Claw.
Okay.
Wait, so what alcohol are they drinking on the show, Scott?
Mostly beer. I believe Natty Light does make an appearance.
Yeah.
Do you know who you have on this podcast? The fact that you're making him watch people drink Natty Light isn't going to kill Dan.
No. In all seriousness, I want people to drink what they like. Basically, I'm just not going to tell. I don't tell people to drink Natty Light.
Natty Light is almost just like a cultural,
mistake. Icon. Yes.
So yeah,
oh. Cultural mistake.
mistake.
That's a great. Like,
if we as a culture can move on from that mistake, that'd be great. Yeah.
That's a great new term. I think we need to incorporate that into our vocabulary more often now.
I guess, Nyan, luckily for you, or I don't know, maybe unluckily, the show mostly focuses on the residents of the Outer Banks and not tourists.
Wow. Okay.
So sorry, you won't get a chance to hate on
it. But I feel like if it's in the Outer Banks and it is during, say, the safe season to be out there, basically, we probably will see some sort of background characters or background like extras that might be almost as tourists, though. So,
oh yes, and
might be able to glean from that.
They some of the characters talk about the tourists, but they're not really any of the main characters.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's like kind of part drama, part treasure hunt, a little bit of kind of a romantic comedy sort of thrown in there. And it got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What, 83? Wow. Seriously? Yeah.
Damn. Seriously. Dude.
For something that sounds like I won't like it, 83%?
Hey.
Is that how it usually works? Like the higher percentage it gets, the less likely that you will actually enjoy it.
Oh, haha. Yeah, no, I do enjoy things that rank that highly. But by the way, I hear Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is actually getting really great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I'll probably like that. But no, that's fair. It's not an inverse proportion. It's not like the higher that it is on Rotten Tomatoes, the less likely I am to enjoy it. That is definitely true in certain cases, because I watch some real bad movies and I love them so much, which I'm happy to provide a list in the show notes if anyone is interested. But that is not always the case, though. I will never watch Titanic. I have no interest.
In who will? Yeah, sorry. Who will you never watch?
Oh, Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic. You've never seen Titanic?
I've never seen Titanic, and it's funny because I just never got around to it, and was never particularly interested, and I just was never dating someone who wanted to watch it. But ultimately, I ended up working at a law firm with a paralegal who would only watch Titanic. Like, she would just watch it over and over again. She would never watch anything else. And I'm like, this is incredibly depressing. She later became a deputy attorney general for the state of New Jersey. And it was just kind of upsetting. But just knowing someone who literally would only watch the movie Titanic and no other movies just kind of put me off on the movie in general. The fact that James Cameron did this to someone and is allowed to roam free and was not in prison for doing so concerns me.
That is fascinating.
I hope so.
I was going to say, I think hopefully, you know, when James Cameron listens to this podcast, he'll, have some, maybe have some second thoughts about it.
Yes. Well, he'll have to get behind Pam Adlon, who's still going to kick your ass. For slamming out her daughter about the society.
And also Domhnall Bellisario, of course.
Yes, of course.
I mean, it's amazing how many people were working up over this podcast. It's pretty funny.
We definitely had to watch our backs for Domhnall P. Bellisario.
For sure. I think that's been established by now. Yeah, for sure. Also, one of the cool things about this show is the names of the characters. So one of the characters' name is John B., like the Beach Boys song. It's a ocean or water theme, so why not?
What's his whole name?
What's that?
His whole name is John B.
No, that's just what they
refer to him as.
Okay,
his nickname.
Okay. Yeah, he does have a full name, but that's what he goes by.
Okay.
There's another character whose name is Topper, and actually takes that seriously. And if you had to guess, you think that Topper is one of the rich people or one of the working class people?
I'm going to go with rich people, because if I had to put the name Topper on a resume, I'd never get a job.
You are absolutely correct. And he reminds me of one of those like bad guys from the 80s, like ski movie, teen movie where they're like fighting over who gets control of the mount of the slopes.
A ski school, you mean?
Yes. Ski patrol?
Or ski patrol. I would take that as either one of them. Yeah.
Or Hot Tub Time Machine, where they are parodying movies.
Fair enough.
Better Off Dead.
Yeah. And
Lane Meyer, once the disputed king of the motor speedway, now a lesson in motorsports.
Yeah. It's got it all. I think it's just really fun, and I think it's definitely a different kind of show, I think, from the ones that we've been going over, speaking about or discussing on the podcast so far. So yeah, give it a try. Oh, the episodes you should watch. The first one is the pilot, the very first episode. And the second one, we're going to go to episode 4 of the first season. It's called Spy Games.
Ooh.
So I can jump from 1 to 4 and I don't lose anything?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Okay.
We make sure that we have we don't have any rabid fans out there, right?
I'm curious to see if this works, like, because I guess with these shows, I assume you need to kind of watch them in order. But if you think we can go 1 to 4, we can cross the streams, Egon, I'm for it.
It sounds like that some of these, like, you know, the some shows, some episodes might have like just minor character story progression. So it's not as critical to, you know, do that basically.
Okay, yeah, so I think there's something more sinister at play, and I think Scott is just trying to infuriate continuity folks and producers in the industry by telling people to watch shows out of order. I think this is literally just a massive conspiracy on Scott's part to take revenge on anyone who's ever had to work on continuity on a show, or just or showrunners in general. Because this will show them.
Nye, would you also lump in the world of dramaturgs out there as well?
Oh yeah, no. Shout out to dramaturgs everywhere. Big ups to dramaturgs. Big ups to Brooklyn. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm testing, you know, the
waters here.
Yeah, well, sorry, forget about that. I kind of lost my train of thought. Just say.
Well, I especially said the waters because of the Outer Banks.
There you well go. Done, waters, sir. I like that. Yeah, I just think it's, you know, sometimes just watching the first two or first three episodes doesn't give you the best understanding of the show overall, and that maybe some of the better episodes come later on. So we'll see if you're able, or, you know, if it does seem like it's a big kind of break in makes it more difficult to understand, or if it's just like, yeah, I can pick this up. And I think the stories are in the way that they make the different storylines, I think you'll be able to follow it just fine.
Fair enough. I think you're right in terms of certain shows where you can kind of, because I've definitely pitched shows where I advocate starting with later episodes and then working backwards, et cetera. Like Joe Parra Talks With You. I definitely suggested starting later and then moving back. So I guess I just got the impression this was more of a straightforward narrative, but hey, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your feedback later on about Outer Banks.
Well, we tried. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. Please join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on iTunes. Or if you didn't listen to this on iTunes, please complain about us on your social media platform of choice. Good night, everybody.